Yeah. Well, this is killing two birds with one stone right here. Because that's Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. But that's also a quintessential 80s song right there, baby. Officer Joe requested for Wild Card Wednesday the Eddie Murphy classic Party All the Time, which, of course, is one of the greatest videos of all time because Rick James is orgasmic at one point in the video. He can't believe how great the song is. And then he runs in, pushes people out of the way of the studio, and takes the mic over from Eddie Murphy. That video is ridiculous, as is the song. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Wednesday, Wild Card Wednesday, year 312-981-7200. And also we want you to call in and text in. We're going to be talking about some great 80s earworms, songs from the 80s that just stay in your head, the fantastic earworm term. And we're going to talk about some of your favorite. What are some of your favorite 80s artists and 80s songs? 312-981-7200. There's an interesting story that really kind of kicked this off is somebody wrote a piece. Dan, what was the Phil Collins story? Where's that? What's that
Mental
from?
Mental Floss.
Mental Floss, of course. Mental Floss wrote a piece about how Phil Collins accidentally created the sound that defined 80s. And that doesn't sound crazy because Phil Collins is one of those guys who dominated the charts in the 80s. He is a quintessential 80s artist. And listen to this. Unless your technical knowledge of music runs deep, you may have never heard the phrase gated reverb. Yeah, man, reverb. I wouldn't have a radio show if I didn't have reverb. It's half my personality. But you've definitely heard it in the effect in action. It's that punchy snare drum sound that first gained traction in the music of the 80s. If you play the drum beat from Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen in your head, you know what the sound is that we're referring to. But that iconic element of pop might not have emerged if it wasn't for Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins. As Vox lays out its new video, the discovery was made in 1979 during the studio recording of Peter Gabriel's self-titled third solo album, often called Melt because of its cover art. Gabriel's Genesis bandmate Phil Collins was playing the drums as usual when his beats were accidentally picked up by a microphone used by studio engineers to talk to the band. That microphone wasn't meant to record music. Its heavy compressors were designed to turn down loud sounds while amplifying quiet ones. The equipment was also utilized as a noise gate, which meant the recorded sounds were cut off shortly after they had started. The result was a bright, fleeting percuss. Gabriel loved the effect and made it the signature sound on the opening track of his album. Then a year later, Collins featured it in his hit In the Air Tonight, perhaps the most famous example of gated reverb to date. Then the sound would continue to define the music of the 80s. Many contemporary artists continue to use it today, but it was really huge in the 80s. So gated reverb, man. See all the great things you can do with reverb? Yeah, man, yeah! So, Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel discovered sort of a signature sound that would be a part of many, 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 many 80s songs. And that's what we're talking about. We want to talk about 80s total earworms. We've got a bunch of them here that we're going to play, and they won't be getting out of your head all day today. You're going to think it's 1986 all over again. But we want to hear from you, your favorite 80s artists, your favorite 80s songs. 312-981-7200. Talk or text. Now, Vic, did you pick one of your favorite 80s songs?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Shall we find out what it is? That's classic. That's an earworm.
No gated reverb.
I don't think so. Those drums sounded pretty straight to me. No gated reverb there. But that's the, you know, I have to say this. That album, when Back in Black came out, I was in high school when that record came out. And everybody in the school had it. Listened to it all the time. It was one of the years that I spent in high school. Back in Black was one of the biggest albums that every person that I knew in high school had.
Yeah.
I mean, it was played all the time.
I was telling Dan, it's so hard to pick one, but...
Yeah.
And there were a few others.
There's
but
a bunch.
But when I came to that one, I thought, yeah, this...
Well, the thing about that album, and this is the really interesting thing about this record, was that that album was a comeback for them because they lost Bon Scott.
Right.
Scott died. And I thought, when Bon Scott died, I thought, that's it, the band's over. We're never going to hear from AC/DC again. And then that album, then Back in Black comes out, and you're like, oh.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right. Man. So, great choice.
Thank you.
And I love that song. AC/DC rules. They rule. So, all right. Dan, do you have an 80s tune that's an earworm, one of your favorite examples of 80s music?
Yeah, so back when I was a younger man, and my friends Bill, Tim, and I, and Mike, we would go out to Arlington Heights. We'd go out to Dirty Nellie's. We'd meet our friends, the Hart sisters, Emily and Katie, and their friend Jess. And we'd go see an 80s band called 16 Candles.
Yeah.
And the two highlights of the show always were for me, Take Me Home Tonight by Eddie Money with Ronnie Spector. And this song, which I know you're a fan of.
Yeah.
You know what the way
oh. Gated reverb, my friend.
I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Song rules. Song rules. We've talked about The Outfield before on the show. I love that band. I unapologetically adore The Outfield. In fact, they're one of my favorite bands of the 80s. And that song, well, let me just, again, remind people, if they have not seen it, go to the NBC.com or YouTube and search for SNL, Josh Hutcherson, what's the hell is his name? The guy from The Hunger Games?
Hutcherson,
right? Okay. They did a sketch that took place in the 80s, and they lip-synced that song in the sketch. Vanessa Bayer was in that sketch, and it was one of the funniest things ever. One of my favorite things that they've done on SNL in a long time. Esmeralda, did you ever see that one?
Yeah, I have.
Where she goes to his house to visit him. And then they start lip-syncing the song. Fantastic. But anyway, The Outfield, those are great guys, man. Three dudes using the gated reverb for certain. But my favorite song by them is, Since You've Been Gone. That's my favorite. Can you find Since You've Been Gone? Since You've Been Gone, and again, Esmeralda, I remember telling you this, a little party, little tidbit at a party that you can tell at a party, and people will be very impressed by your knowledge of The Outfield.
Of course.
The leader of the band was a guy named John Spinks, if you want to, you know, impress people. And the song that we're about to play, my favorite Outfield song, another quintessential 80s song, Since You've Been Gone, was shot on the set where the last 15 minutes of Full Metal Jacket took place. So mark that down and impress the hell out of people.
I'll keep a note in my wallet.
Keep a note in your wallet.
See, I thought you were going with the other bit of trivia, that every song that's been titled Since You've Been Gone is fantastic.
Yeah, that's another little thing. But you got Since You've Been Gone by The Outfield. You got Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson. But see, the thing is, the Cars have a song, but it's called Since You're Gone. So it's close, and that's a great song, too, Since You're Gone. That's a quintessential 80s song, too. You can find that one, too. Well, do we have The Outfield? Here we go.
I've just been fooling around since you've been gone. This world's been turned upside down. Didn't think I'd find a girl that I could not forget. Anything we started not so long ago ain't over yet. Since you've been gone, staring at your photograph.
God, this is a good song. Oh, man. I love that song so much. It's so good. And the, and I, when I remember, when the video came out, it was the same year Full Metal Jacket came out, 87. And I remember watching MTV, the video comes on, I'm like, hey, that's the final shootout in Full Metal Jacket. So they used the set of a Stanley, or no, it's not a set, it was a location. So they used, it was one of their favorite movies. So they used the location where Stanley Kubrick shot Full Metal Jacket for their video. Adding to their coolness. You familiar with the outfield at all, Esmeralda, besides that SNL sketch?
No. Well, I knew about them from the songs.
Yeah.
But other than that, no.
Oh, you mean the fantastic trivia that I'm giving you about them.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're going to be a hit at the next party.
Oh, man. People are going to be like, keep telling us more about the outfield.
Because, you know, I know that in 2017, when you go to a party, the band, The Outfield, I'm sure comes up in several conversations during the course.
Oh, always.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
It's on the tip of people's tongues in 2017. that song is 30 years old, man. 30 years old. That's gated reverb, too, on that one. Quintessential 80s song. God, I love those guys. I love The Outfield. You know who else is quintessentially 80s, Esmeralda?
Who's that?
Saga.
Sure.
Absolutely. One of my favorite 80s bands of all time, Saga. Also Canadian. I don't know if you knew that, Esmeralda.
No.
You didn't know they were Canadian?
No.
They're Canadian. Saga.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the first you've heard of it.
I just didn't think they were.
Okay, we've got to break here. We got weather, we got traffic. Who are some of your favorite quintessential 80s artists and 80s songs? We've got some classic earworms from the 80s that when we play part of them this morning, they will be in your head until you go to bed tonight. And that's a good thing because the 80s ruled. Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah. 312-981-7200. Paxton requested Jamie Lynn Spears, the Zoe 101 theme song. I don't understand the sentence that just came out of my mouth at all. Spears was the star. Paxton used to watch it with his niece. So Zoe 101 is a TV show, right?
It was, yes, on Nickelodeon.
And Jamie Lynn Spears, is she related to Britney Spears?
Younger sister.
Younger sister, okay. Well, there you go. All right. Hey, we're talking 80s music and your favorite 80s songs, your favorite 80s artists, and I've got some earworms that are going to stay in your head now. So enjoy the first one because this is a classic. No denying that, man. So we sang that song in this play Alive, this play that we had this, we had this scene where Alive was this play that I co-wrote and directed and was in years and years ago. And it was about me and five of my friends. So it was six guys just drinking and you know, just telling penis jokes and being very vulgar, like, you know, every day. So we were talking about this time we were at a concert, and my character was on top of this other character's shoulders with a broken 2x4 in my hand and a bloody nose, and a busted bloody nose. And we were talking about how it was Public Enemy and Anthrax, and I was like, yeah, we did that to Public Enemy and Anthrax. I was on your shoulders, I had a busted 2x4 in my hand and a broken nose. I was bleeding all over the place and urinating on your back. And everything about that is true except for the urinating part. Because at that show, I did end up on that guy's shoulders with a busted 2x4 in my hand and a broken nose and blood pouring out of my face. So, wasn't broken, but I had a bloody nose. Someone smashed into me because we were in the mosh pit. So, and then the next line is, hey, man, hell, you guys did that at the AHA show. And then we bust into that song. So, all right. We got to get into the traffic hut here. Something's going on. What's going on, Esmeralda?
Yes, we have an update on that crash on Lakeshore Drive southbound at Fullerton. It is now blocking all lanes. We're hearing it is a city dump truck that rolled over. So there's debris all across the lanes right now. Oh. So southbound Lakeshore Drive at Fullerton, all lanes are blocked.
Wow. Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. That's not good. All right. You know, the video, of course, for Take On Me, that's one of the most legendary videos of all time. Animated, they're in the video, then they're in the cartoon, and they're not in the cartoon. And the... All right. All right, how about this one? Esmeralda, I think you like this song. Yeah. I'm Fred Schneider. Yeah, that song rules. Love Shack rules. And according to this little tidbit of information, Esmeralda, forget the 80s, CNN once named Love Shack one of the best songs of the entire 20th century.
Wow.
We got a bunch of texts coming in for your favorite 80s artists and 80s songs. Larry in Manhattan says Dire Straits. I'm assuming he means, oh God, what was even the name of that? What was the name of that album? Because it was Money for Nothing was the big video with the moving guys, the big fantastic animated dudes. Why am I blanking on the name of that record? Brothers in Arms, yeah, Brothers in Arms. One of the biggest albums of the 80s. Darren says Stray Cats. You got to love the Stray Cats. Mike says Tenderness by General Public. That's a great song. Hold Me Now by the Thompson Twins. Thompson Twins, one of my favorite 80s artists of all time. I saw the Thompson Twins like 7 times in concert. I love the Hold Me Now is fantastic. I love the Thompson Twins. I love them. Jim in Carbondale says Big Twist and the Mellow Fellows were on a roll in the 80s with great vinyl songs. 815 area code says Love Shack, B-52s. All right, it's going to continue. The 80s. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We got a break here for the news, but we'll do more 80s stuff here after that.
Ball, ball, ball.
Yeah. 701 area code on Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Rubber Biscuit from the Blues Brothers. All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we're talking 80s music and earworms from the 80s that will stay with you. Your favorite 80s songs and your favorite 80s artists. And we've discovered this morning that Phil Collins is single-handedly responsible for the sound of the 80s. Speaking of which, Gov sends in a text that says, thanks to you playing it a few weeks ago, I've woken up with this 80s song in my head. 4 days ago, I got it out, but thanks to you, it came back into my head. One of the greatest 80s songs ever, Easy Lover by Phil Collins and Philip Bailey. Indeed, one of the greatest songs of all time. All right. Here's our next earworm. I know people love that song. Vic, you know, you're not a fan?
Maybe I just heard it too much.
No,
what
I can't.
Do you think? Not good.
No, I can't stand it.
I don't like it either.
No, I can't stand it.
I mean, I do like some Bon Jovi, but that one never.
But I know, Esmeralda, you were singing along. You were enjoying it.
Yeah, kind of just creeps out.
Dan, what about you? You a fan?
I love that song.
Okay.
I would hold up people's hands when I would hear bands cover it in concert.
I could hear Esmeralda in the newsroom singing to that just now.
Well, that's a big karaoke song, is it not?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
We also made Mary Vandevelde's morning.
Oh, yeah, Mary, yeah. That's right. She loves Bon Jovi. And I've said this many, many times. I don't know when this renaissance for Bon Jovi happened, where, like, right around the mid-90s or the late 90s, right around the late 90s, early 2000s, suddenly they were a good band. Suddenly there was, like, a resurgence in critical acclaim. Let me explain something to you. When Bon Jovi was big in the 80s, they were a joke. Everybody I knew thought they sucked. Because they did. They sucked. The majority of the people with ears in the 80s didn't like Bon Jovi, and then this weird thing happened. They were considered a joke by music journalists. Their albums got terrible reviews. They were considered a bad 80s hair band, which is what they were. And then I don't know what happened. Music journalists are like, oh, yeah, Bon Jovi. They're second only to Springsteen. In terms of Jersey, and they're one of the greatest bands of all time. What are we talking about? I was there, my friends. I was there in the 80s when people laughed at Bon Jovi. And then suddenly, oh, they're critically acclaimed. They suck. They've always sucked. I remember I picked up a copy of Rolling Stone. This was probably early 2000s. I picked up a copy of Rolling Stone. They were on the cover. And there was this glorious piece written about how great they were, and they've the history of this band. They're one of the best bands. Like, what are we talking about? Get in a DeLorean and go back to 1987 and see how many people are laughing their asses off at these stupid videos that Bon Jovi made. I don't understand it at all. It's one of the biggest mysteries in the history of music is how Bon Jovi went from joke to like 23 years later considered a great band. I still can't trace it. I can't trace the origin of how there was this 180 about a really bad 80s hair metal band that suddenly people liked. Terrible band. All right. Here's Jeff on WGN. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I have a song in mind.
Okay.
How about Alexander O'Neill, Criticize.
All right, do we have that? Yeah. Steve Cochran's best friend, everybody, Alexander O'Neill. That's Criticized. Jeff, thanks for the call. That's a great song. I love Alexander O'Neill. Steve Cochran's best buddy. All right, to get the taste of the Bon Jovi song out of my mouth, here's this. Oh, yeah. I love that song. Love it. I love Cyndi Lauper. How do you not love Cyndi Lauper? Come on. 406 area code says, what about Loverboy and Rat? Rat was awesome. You know, do you remember, anybody remember the Rat videos? Round and Round and You're in Love and all those videos. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing. Milton Berle is in two of their videos because Milton Berle's manager managed Rat. And so when Rat was shooting videos, they put Milton Berle in the video because, you know, your target audience, you know, in 1984 for a hair metal band in the 80s are Milton Berle fans because, you know, Milton Berle is going to appeal to the 14-year-old boys who are listening to Rat. I just don't see. I mean, I was older at the time. I, you know, like when that song came out, I was like 20 or something. When the first video came, I was like 19 or 20. Of course, I knew who Milton Berle was, and I was like, what? Why is Milton Berle in this video? And I thought it was funny. Yeah, but they shared a manager, which I think is hilarious that Milton Berle's manager was also Rat's manager. Huh? How does that happen? All right. One more before we break. And we've talked about this song many times. Yeah. Esmeralda, do you have your overalls on?
Oh, yeah. I always wear them under my clothes. Just
anytime,
in case. Like
anytime
Superman.
That song comes on, you got to put on your overalls and start dancing around. So, by the way, the songs that I'm playing are from a list of the 20 biggest earworms of 80s songs. 80s songs that totally get stuck in your head. That's the list I'm playing from. So, but if you want to jump in with your favorite 80s songs or 80s artists, but the stuff that I'm choosing from here that we're playing are all from the ones that really, really get stuck in your head. So, good morning. All right. Dan, does your wife like that song?
Yes. That was the one of the zeniths of the wedding. We have a picture of us dancing on a table to that song.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. You weren't in overalls, though.
I, like Esmeralda, had them on underneath my tuxedo.
It was the theme.
And backwards.
Oh, that's
right.
With the one.
You're the crisscross fan. Yeah. Oh, brother. All right. Let's take a break here for weather and traffic. Yeah. Wild Card Wednesday here. 312-981-7200, 502 area code requested. Sutherland Brothers and Quiver with You Got Me Anyway. No idea what that is. No idea. All right. Hi, everybody. We're back, and we're talking about the 80s and 80s music that will stay in your head forever. Earworms of the 80s and some of your favorite 80s artists. So here's the next one. Esmeralda, this happens to be your choice, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Made the list, and it happens to be your choice for 80s earworm song. So I saw Duran Duran at the height of, like, Duran Duran mania,
mm-hmm.
like in 1985, in early 1985, maybe late 1984, at the Rosemont Horizon or Allstate shenanigans over there. And to this day, it's the loudest show I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
The loudest show I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen Motorhead, I've seen Sabbath, I've seen System of a Down, I've seen AC/DC, and Duran Duran, loudest show I've ever seen in my life, and here's why, Esmeralda. They had to crank the music to insane decibels to drown out the screaming.
Nice.
It was all teenage girls screaming. And they had big video screens. So every time they would, like, cut to a certain Duran member, it was usually John Taylor, the girls would go nuts and just scream. So each guy, you know, Simon Le Bon, yeah, but John Taylor got the biggest screams of everybody. Andy Taylor, not so much. Roger Taylor, yes. Andy Taylor, not so much. Nick Rhodes, yeah. But it was John Taylor who got most of the screams. But they seriously, we walked out of that. We walked out of the show, and I was like, I'm deaf. I can't. And it was Esmeralda, it was seriously, they played for about an hour and 45 minutes, and it was just one sustained mutual scream happening for the entire hour and 45 minutes.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. It was insane. Girls were crying. We had great seats, too. We were like 15th row center. And girls were crying. It was just nonstop screaming. They just couldn't handle it. They were tearing their hair out. It was insane. Now, I love Hungry Like the Wolf, but I'm a Rio man. That's my go-to off of that record.
Mm-hmm.
I love the title track. Then I love the video. They're sitting on a yacht. Simon Le Bon is sitting on the edge of a yacht, flying around. So, oh, man. Dan, do you enjoy the Duran Duran?
I do. That's some catchy stuff.
Yeah. They were great, man. They were great. And I love their comeback album in 93, their comeback album. What the hell was it? Wedding album, right?
I believe so. With Ordinary People.
With Ordinary World.
Ordinary World.
Ordinary
right.
World
yes.
And Come Undone. Ordinary World's a great song. That's a great. Unfortunately, we're not going to play that because that's a 90s song. But that was a big comeback for those guys. Hey, do you remember there were two offshoots from Duran Duran, two supergroups. Of course, Power Station, we all know. That was Andy Taylor, John Taylor, Tony Thompson, one of the greatest drummers that ever lived in the history of drumming. God bless him. And Robert Palmer. They had a big hit album. But do you remember Simon Le Bon and Nick Rhodes' offshoot? Do you remember their supergroup, you guys?
Mm-mm.
Dan?
Oh.
Arcadia? Okay, we got a break. Dan, look up Election Day by Arcadia. That was the other half of Duran Duran's supergroup right there. So, all right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up next, and then we'll get back to some more 80s stuff.
I ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now why you gotta go and tweet it when you really ought to just delete it? Now we all want to unsee it, but we can't. To be ashamed that you're not. Spring breaking in Daytona, the middle of a keg stand. It's all fun and games till your daddy follows you on Instagram.
Wow.
Ought to be ashamed.
Little social commentary from Brad Paisley. Judy requesting Brad Paisley with Selfie, hashtag the internet is forever. Wow, Brad Paisley, man. A little social commentary from the man. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5. Steve Grzanich coming up with the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. We're talking about 80s songs that get stuck in your head, these earworms that once you hear them, they're there. They'll be there all day. And we're also talking about your favorite 80s artists and songs. We've got a bunch of texts that are coming in and some calls. Let's get to the phones real quick. Here's Mike on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, morning, Nick.
Morning.
Yeah, well, I was never a big 80s music guy, but there's a couple of songs out there that were pretty good. Most of them were bad in the 80s, starting with Bon Jovi.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one I think I've heard on the radio once, but I saw it on MTV at a buddy's house years ago, and stuck in my ear ever since.
All right.
So it's Why Me by Planet Pete Project.
Okay.
Via this test.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. I remember that song. I remember. I don't remember the video, though. Did you have the video up there?
Yeah, it's pretty creepy.
Is it? I don't remember it.
He's okay. Like an astronaut looking at a woman in a car, and every time she turns around, she's got a different passenger, and they're creepy.
Hey, 80s, man. That's it. You don't need an explanation. It's just the 80s. Here's Phil on WGN. Hey, Phil.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, the song I have is Forever Young by Rod Stewart in 1988.
All right. This song got played to death. Every 5 minutes that song was on, the video was on constantly.
Yeah, I remember the video with the little boy he's holding.
Yeah.
What are they on, like a wagon?
Yeah, I think they're on like a, I remember.
Are they on
a wagon trail
or something? What's that thing you do when you go to pumpkin farms?
A hayride?
Yeah. Hayride.
Maybe it's a hayride. It's that time of year now. It's time for the hayrides.
It's true.
Phil, thanks for the call. Dan, were you able to find Arcadia election day? This was the other half of... Yeah.
I don't like it.
Oh, I love it.
I'm with
Esmeralda.
It sounds weird.
It is weird. The whole album is weird.
No, but it just sounds like bad production.
Mm.
Like they're singing together, but it doesn't sound...
The video, I remember the video being really weird, too. Very weird. But that's Simon Le Bon and Nick Rhodes. They led Arcadia.
Mm.
It was kind of their answer to Power Station. It's like, if you guys want to do Power Station, we're going to do Arcadia.
It's not very good.
Well, Arcadia didn't sell. Power Station did. Power Station sold a lot. That was a big record. That Power Station record was big. And I saw them on tour. I was so disappointed because we got our tickets. It was at Poplar Creek. Going to go see Power Station. Mm-hmm. Love that album. And Robert Palmer doesn't tour with them.
Is there just a stand-in?
No, Michael DeBars was the guy who toured with him. He's a rock star. He was in a bunch of different bands. His wife, Pamela DeBars, is a legendary groupie who wrote I'm with the band.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she's been with 80 million guys, 80 million rock stars. Mm-hmm. And that was his wife. He was more known for being the husband of the guy who slept with 16,000 rock stars.
Yeah.
So he took over for Palmer. He stand in for Robert Palmer. And he's
That's
not
boring.
He's not Robert. Well, let me explain something to you. Like Scott Stapp, I've never seen a person sweat more on stage than Michael DeBars. We went to go see him.
Don't get them together. Flood the place.
No kidding. I was like, my God, I've never seen anybody sweat that much. And this is at Poplar Creek at the show. My friends and was with Joe. Was like, hey, that guy sweats like a pig, even though pigs don't sweat like that.
Right.
But when we were concerned. And then I'd never seen anybody sweat that much on stage until I watched a Creed concert on cable. And Scott Stapp, I'm telling you, that guy, I think he's equipped with more sweat glands than any human being on the
planet. Maybe that's his kid. Maybe they're related. They don't even know it.
Wait, well, Michael DeBars. There you go. Michael DeBars is Scott Stapp's father. That's what we're discovering.
They bond over their sweating.
I'll give you, in case you might want to picture Michael DeBars. Michael DeBars was, you're not a big Seinfeld person. If I were to describe an episode to you, would you know it?
Maybe.
Do you remember the episode, The Smelly Car, where the valet guy who took the car had really bad BO and it wouldn't leave Jerry's car?
Vaguely.
Okay. Mm. Well, Dan, you remember that episode?
I do not.
Okay. It's only a classic. Anyway, so the smelly car, the there's BO in the car, and so mm-hmm. he goes back to the restaurant where the valet guy works.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry does. And the manager of the restaurant, he wants them to pay for, you know, whatever detailing or cleaning of the car that has to be done to get the BO smell out of the car.
Yeah.
The manager of the restaurant, who they forced to sit in the car and smell the car, Michael DeBars.
Okay. Wow. Illustrious career.
He's the guy who had to smell the car. That's Michael DeBars. He's the sweatiest man. I'm surprised he didn't start sweating immediately when they put him in the car in the episode. Just start pouring sweat. So. All right. How about this one? Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? Travel the world and the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. Great song.
Mm-hmm.
Great song. She's got, well, I mean, come on, man. Annie Lennox, one of the greatest voices ever. She's great. I saw them at the auditorium for that album, for that tour,
mm-hmm.
and a band called Real Life opened for them. They had a song called Send Me an Angel. You remember Send Me an Angel?
No.
Dan, do you remember Send Me an Angel?
That song rules.
Can you find it? It's Real Life called Send Me an Angel. It's their only hit. But they opened for Eurythmics, mm-hmm. and they were fantastic. I think it was before their record came out, and they were great. And I was like, oh, it's going to be really tough for the Eurythmics to beat that.
Really?
Yeah, seriously, that's how good they were. Seriously, that's how, and I'd never seen Eurythmics before. It was for the first album.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It was for the Eurythmics' first album.
Okay.
So I was like, boy. I'm sure at some point you heard it or saw the video, because it's one of those, it's a pretty popular video in when they do 80s retro stuff,
because
mm-hmm. the video was, that was a really popular song, but they were great. I mean, that was like one of the best double bills ever, because the opening band was fantastic, and of course Eurythmics come out, and then I'm like, oh, they're fantastic. So
it was also used to great effect in Teen Wolf 2. I mean, that.
Oh, that song. From Teen Wolf 2. Okay.
Steve?
Hey, Nick, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, it's weird. You're hearing these songs. You're going, okay, yeah, that came out a couple years ago. No, more like 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah,
though.
Yeah, yeah. Send Me an Angel was 83, man.
It's transcending 30, the decades that have gone unnoticed. Yeah. But, yeah, it's interesting. When you AC/DC, Back in Black, of course, I was a freshman in college when that came out. But you think of Highway to Hell, AC/DC's Highway to Hell in 79, and Def Leppard's High and Dry, both produced by Mutt Lange.
Oh, yeah.
He was producer extraordinary. He completely changed their sound. I mean, George Young with AC/DC, you know, Brother George, good performer as well.
Yeah.
The Easy Beats, but yeah, the decent producer. But when Mutt Lange took over for both Def Leppard and AC/DC,
Mutt Lange, man, who ended up marrying, I believe, Shania Twain, and then like cheating on her, right? Didn't he cheat on her or something?
Yeah,
with the maid or something.
John Mutt Lange, but seriously, John Mutt Lange, incredible. I mean, if you listen to Pyromania and Hysteria, those are unbelievably beautiful produced records.
Exactly, and you know, with the help of videos, I think Pyromania sold 10 million, Hysteria sold 15 million, or vice versa. And it's like, you know, but you know, the first On Through the Night, the first Def Leppard was kind of choppy, but when Robert John Mutt Lange came in and
great producer,
Highway to Hell, and High and Dry. But you think about videos, you know, Madness, you know, Our House, of course, was a big hit, but the early Madness was very ska based,
right?
You know, video suddenly introduced the world to the Talking Heads. You know, 77, Fear of Music, more songs about buildings and food.
Right.
Who's that? Oh, Burning Down the House. There you go.
That changed them. Yeah, and that was a huge breakthrough for them. They people saw them, and then when Stop Making Sense came out, it was all over. At that point, it was all over. I saw Stop Making Sense, Esmeralda, at the Fine Arts Theater down here on South Michigan Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
probably 25 times. And it was just it's the best concert movie ever made. And it played the fine arts forever. So, Steve, thanks for the call. We got a break. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we'll finish it up. All right. Hey, Mike from Novak Construction is listening. Hi, Mike. What's up next on the decorations for the construction? Would it be Halloween, right?
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ringo Starr, Rack My Brain, written by George Harrison.
Oh.
There you go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Dan, did you find my favorite song of the 80s? My very favorite song of the 80s?
It nullifies the name from overkill.
I love this song. My favorite song of the 80s, easily. Easily my favorite song of the 80s. And I would personally like to thank the guy who, Bill Lawrence, the creator of Scrubs, and Zach Braff for being a huge fan of Colin Hay and bringing him into Scrubs so that he could play that song on three different episodes. Did you ever watch Scrubs?
I did.
Do you remember the one episode where he serenades it the entire show, entire episode? And then Zach Braff put him on the soundtrack of Garden State put Colin Hay on the soundtrack of Garden State. Two beautiful songs. He's great. Colin Hay's great. Men at Work, they were great. I mean, they were, you know, when they first came out, everybody was like, oh, they're goofy. Look down under, and he's got crazy eyes. Remember that VH1 when we were playing
Pop-Up Video?
Pop-Up Video. Remember
right.
They were like, he's got a lazy eye. Isn't that funny?
Oh, poor Colin Hay.
Yeah, he's the best. All right, let's see. What else do we got here? Oh, you know, this happens to be my current picture on my Facebook, my regular Facebook page. This person.
And I could tell it wouldn't be long. It was with me. Yeah, me singing. I love rock and roll. Spend a lot of time in the jukebox, baby. I love rock and roll. Spend a lot of time and dance with me. Ow!
Joan Jett rules. All right. Here's a bunch of text. Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill. Great song. Great song. Here you go. 815 area code. Pump up the jam. Pump it up.
Is that?
Technotronic.
Is that 80s?
Oh, yeah.
Came out in 89.
80. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Made it big in 90, though.
Got it.
763. Oh, I forgot about this one. Since You've Been Gone by Rainbow also rocks. I forgot about Since You've Been Gone by Rainbow. And that does rock. So you got Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson, mm-hmm. Since You've Been Gone by The Outfield, mm-hmm. Since You've Been Gone by Rainbow, and Since You're Gone by The Cars.
You could do just a whole music fest.
It's just
Been Gone fest.
That's right. 289 area code, Platinum Blonde. Platinum Blonde, here's the thing about Platinum Blonde. I loved Platinum Blonde. Crying Over You was their hit. Mm-hmm. Can you find that one, Dan? Crying Over You. And seriously, look up their album cover. You want to see some hair. Seriously, ridiculous. Platinum Blonde album. I can't remember. It's 85 or 86. Crying Over You was kind of their hit. Dance Hall Days by Wang Chung. Love that song.
Yeah.
Love all of Wang Chung. Seriously.
Yeah.
Mosaic, 1986 Mosaic. It's a Desert Island Disc for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you looking at Platinum Blonde's
hair?
Yeah. It's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Oh, and they still have it.
What do you mean?
Like, there's pictures of them.
Now? And they have that hair?
Pretty much.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's not as bad.
I mean, still.
Yeah, but it's not as
ridiculous.
Even more ridiculous in the 80s, though. That album cover is insane. Did you find Crying Over You? So, yeah. That's Platinum Blonde, everybody.
Also Canadian.
Go to, yes, they are Canadian. They are Canadian. I would say go to your vinyl shops right now and find that doozy. You know who loved that song? Hey, listen. Hey, Platinum Blonde, that new album rules. All right. Rappin' Duke by Sean Brown and Basketball by Curtis Blow. Robert says, Tears for Fears, everybody wants to rule the world. You can name about 15 Tears for Fears songs.
Oh, yeah.
Head Over Heels? Come on. Pale Shelter? Come on. All right, I think we're done. I think we're out of time. I just want to mention that Dan's Aunt Mary said Journey, City by the Bay. That's when the lights go down in the city. It's from the 70s, though.
Oh.
Although it's by Journey, and they dominated the 80s.
Right, so, right.
There you go. All right, we have to break. We're going to have some live music in tomorrow morning, Esmeralda.
Oh, very nice.
And I think we're going to play a little pop-up video.
Cool.
Okay, see you tomorrow.
See ya.
All right, well, the news is coming up.